Are you truly committed to feeling better? I mean, absolutely feeling your best. What's the key? Eat well, sleep well, lots of hydration through water, and also your daily innovative wellness athletic supplement packs. These packets are created to supplement your daily lifestyle, allowing your body to have the nutrients it needs to run efficiently. These packets include multi-omega fish oil, D3K2 5000, probiotic, and magnesium. It's nearly impossible to get all the nutrients our body requires to run efficiently on a regular basis from our food alone. Taking this daily packet will leave you feeling more energetic and more vibrant. Your brain body will be able to detoxify more efficiently, which naturally reduces inflammation. Find out today, innovativewellness.center, innovativewellness.center, and use the code SPORTS Overnight America.
It's We'll See About That with World Series MVP Ron Say.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to We'll See About That. Ron Say here with Mike Carey, and I hope that all of you have returned after the new year, having a great time with your family and friends. And unfortunately, the new year has not gotten off to a great start here in Southern California, and right now the main news is about all the horrific firestorms that are going on here. The winds are unbelievably high. It has been devastating Southern California here for days now. Mike, what's the situation near your house?
Yeah, you know, I'm close to the Eaton Fire, about 7 miles away, so very, very smoky. I have some family members under evacuation. It's a scary time. The winds were unbelievable. Hurricane force. I lost my fence in my backyard, but so many others have lost, you know, way more. So our thoughts and prayers are with them. And I just want to say, if you are, you know, get that order to evacuate, evacuate, because things move real fast.
Yeah, there's no question, because that devastating fire that just destroyed the Palisades, there was no time in there. And the Coast Highway was blocked up, and it was just a nightmare for so many people that lost just about everything they had. And I've been reading on Instagram many stories about the devastation, the loss of how it affected all these people, and it is just so heartbreaking.
Yeah, definitely. And speaking of somebody who, you know, has gone kind of through this a little bit, you know, when you do evacuate, don't grab your TVs, don't grab all that. What you want to grab is your important documents and your family photos, because those things, you know, you can replace a TV, you can replace your couch and your stereo, but those, you know, precious memories and mementos, those are what you want to take out.
Yeah, for sure. And I, if there was advice that I could give you, stay away from the chaos. You don't need to go down to the Coast Highway to see how things are. You'll have plenty of time to see that over the course of the next couple of months. Anyway, that's such a sad story to have to start out this year. I remember Davey Lopes when he was playing with us. He lived in the Palisades. What a beautiful community that was. And to see that, along with all the other places, just go up. You know, I had 100-mile-an-hour winds, as they said, in Woodland Hills, and I'm right out there getting hit in the face. The good part about it for us is that, yeah, we get the strong winds, but the winds blow that problem right over to the beach. So we stayed out of harm's way in that way, but I got a lot of work to do at the house, cleaning up for sure. Anyway, we're so glad to have you all back. I hope that your situation is much better than the one that we're experiencing here in Southern California. And we will be right back with We'll See About That right after this message. Okay, it's time to take a jaunt over to a Financial Coach's Corner with Brad Kreger. And Brad, since you have been away, we have had some devastating fires here in Southern California. How do we help make these people whole again who have lost so much?
You know, Ron, my heart goes out to everybody that's been impacted by these fires. I've got clients, I've got family, and I've got friends that have lost their homes. And I, unfortunately, some people that I know have lost lives, family members. So this is especially troubling. Coming to you guys from Miami, I'm at a conference, and I even had to deal with evacuation of my son and our house during this. The question was, how are people going to be made whole? The simple answer is continue to pay your mortgages, continue to meet your financial obligations. The insurance companies that you guys have, that these people have, will make them whole. That is the idea of insurance. Insurance is there to put you back in the position you were prior to the loss. The whole concept of insurance is transfer of risk to the insurance company. And that means transferring the risk of loss. So as devastating as this may be, I have a client who lost both his house and his rental property right next door to his house. And I basically told him, look, I'll hold your hand through this. Lean on me. I'll walk you through it. I'll help you. The insurance companies are obligated to put you back in the position you were prior to loss. He's fortunate. He does not have a mortgage. Those people that have mortgages, you're going to have to continue to pay that mortgage. And insurance will cover the costs of rentals and where you're going to live in the meantime. The only thing that they won't cover is loss of pictures and emotional things. I mean, they can't make that up. That's the real tragedy, is that the emotional impact is never going to be compensated. It's unfortunate, but it's just one of those things. But financially, the insurance companies are there. They are legally obligated to cover it. They keep whole.
All right, Brad, thank you so much for that valuable information. I hope that is helpful for those who have suffered horrific devastation and loss. Thank you so much.
No problem. Take care, Ron.
You too.
They still call me the Penguin.
Hey, welcome back. And our special guest, Art Chamsky, will be receiving a beautiful fruit gift basket courtesy of our friends at Melissa's Produce. Melissa's is the proud partner of We'll See About That. Be sure to use my VIP code, RonSay, when checking out at melissas.com. It gives me a great pleasure today to have a guy that played Major League Baseball a little bit before my time. He was a Cincinnati Red. He was a New York Met. He was a Chicago Cub. And he was an Oakland A, covering 13 years. And our special guest today is Art Chamsky. Art, welcome to the show. Great to have you. How is the new year treating you so far?
Well, I sure hope it's better. First of all, it's great to be with you. Thank you so much. I sure hope it's better than last year. Last year was a really tough year in terms of some tragedies. I lost five members of that 69 team last year, and a couple other players I played with and against. Of course, I came up with Cincinnati and was real friendly with Pete Rose. We started our careers together way back in 1960 in a small town upstate New York, Geneva, New York, in the New York Penn League. And I spent 8 years in that organization before I got traded to the Mets. And so that was a shock. So hopefully 2025 will be a little bit better. I've got my fingers crossed. But, you get to a certain point in your life at a certain age and you get these calls all the time now. You know, it's sort of like the way of life. And so just hope they're not as much as last year.
Well, I certainly hope that plays out for you, and I hope it plays out for the rest of us, too. Last year was a difficult year, I think, for many, many people. And so far out here in Southern California, it hasn't started out too well for some either. All these terrible storm fires, the wind creating havoc, another story to be told. But how did a guy growing up in St. Louis, Missouri, where was your first thought of possibly taking on the life of a professional baseball player?
Well, I grew up in an area that really developed a lot of players who went on to have professional careers. Some never made it to the big leagues, but a lot did. There's so many guys that I grew up with and played against that eventually ended up somewhere along the line playing against me or in the big leagues. And the programs were just really good. I knew that I could play from the time that I started playing. My dad, took me out when I could walk and started soft tossing with me. But I never, I dreamed of being, I was a big Cardinal fan. Stan Musial was my idol. I wouldn't go to bed at night until his last at bat or the game was over. Yeah. And And I sit there and I just throw the ball up in the air and catch it in my glove. And, you know, you dream of those things, but you never really know what's going to happen. And back in those days, Ron, it was only 16 teams when I signed. And so the chances of making it were really slim. And then they expanded to 20 teams in 1962. That's when the Mets came in. And I was in the minor leagues with the Reds organization. And so that gave some of us a little more opportunity to probably make it because it's just – you know, when I first signed, it just wasn't a lot of room. And I remember one spring training, I went to the spring training with the Reds after having a real good year in AAA 1963, and Fred Hutchinson was the manager, and you know, Frank Robinson was in the outfield, Vada Pinson, Rose was there now, Tommy Harper, a lot of real, Darren Johnson, a lot of really good players. And I remember I had a really good spring, and I thought I was going to make the team, and Freddie Hutchinson called me in, and he said, well, you know, I don't know what to tell you. You had a good spring. You had a good year, but there's no room. So I had to go back to AAA, spend another year. But the good news was I was playing in San Diego in the minor leagues before it became a big league city. And so I went back there and had another good year and then finally made it in 1965. But it was difficult back in those days because there just wasn't a lot of room. And a lot of guys that I played with and against in the minors, I said, these guys can't miss, and yet they were in the same position as me. So the reality of it was I dreamed of making it, but you just really never knew or never know until it actually happens. And I was lucky enough to make the team at the end of 64, and then 65 was my first full year at Cincinnati, and then spent 3 years in the big leagues before I got traded over to the Mets.
You know, you hit a few nerves with me by repeating some of those things that happened in your past. I have familiarity with a lot of those names. Played for Frank Robinson in Puerto Rico right before I made it to the big leagues. He was my manager there. You talk about Pete. Know Pete well, knew Pete well. You talk about getting sent back after a big year in AAA. Boy, I have firsthand information about all that. You know, I finished up 1971 hitting 329 with 32 home runs and 123 runs batted in, got called up, had a cup of coffee for a couple of pinch hit at bats, and I was designated pretty much the starting third baseman until heard otherwise, and I got sent back. I had to go do it all over again. And, I responded. I know the difficulty of which you also played with the number of teams that were playing when you started out. I remember just the American League and the National League. And
I think when people ask me about the game today, and I never want to put the game down, but I think the thing that we look back on and what happened to us, and I just think when we couldn't make it because there wasn't that many teams, the fact that we went back and played against guys who were in the same position as us, they were terrific players, couldn't make it because there was no room. So you developed your game accordingly because they couldn't make it, you couldn't make it, but you were playing against this really good talent. If I told you some of the teams in that Pacific Coast League that I played against, some of the pitchers I played against, it was incredible. And so if you didn't do well, you were just phased out. So I think in the long run, it helped because you were playing against guys that had the same kind of problems as you. And then once you got to the big leagues, I think you were much more ready than you were the guys today. I think guys are rushed to the big leagues today. They don't play against quality players in the minor leagues. And I think they get overmatched by not so much even great pitchers, but just mediocre pitchers. I'm talking about hitters in particular. And I think by not playing against some of these guys for a couple of years in the minor leagues, I think it really hurts them because in the long run, because I just think they're not ready to play. On the other hand, they got the opportunity to make a lot of money, and the reality of it is they're in the big leagues, and so it is what it is. But I think we paid our dues, and I've got no regrets about that.
I think you're right about a lot of that, Art. I experienced the same thing. You know, I was very disappointed about being sent back to have to go do something over again, of which I got an A in that class, you know. I should be able to go to grad school, right? And the next year was I made it a beneficial year. I became more selective. I had a chance to hone my skills one more time. And I think it was beneficial. We had a terrific team. We played against terrific talent. The Philly teams of the future, the Giant teams of the future, were the guys that I were playing against. So having to go back, yeah, I was sure disappointed about it. But it helped me get on top of my game a little bit quicker my rookie year. And once I got the opportunity, then it was lights out. And
no, I think that you're a perfect example of what I was talking about. You ended up having a great career, and yes, you would have liked to have gotten there sooner, but the reality was maybe whatever happened to you honed your skills even more, made you a little bit more prepared to get to the big leagues. I mean, I look back again on those years, particularly in AAA. Like the Dodgers, for example, when you got great experience with the Dodgers. I mean, they were in Spokane, Washington, and their team was this Don Sutton, Phil Ortega, Pete Rickert, and Bill Singer. That was their starting pitching staff, and so you know about all those guys. And so
sure do. I mean,
there was so many teams that had great pitchers and great players, and they were held back because there was just no room. Now, there's 30 teams now. And so in 62, they expanded to 20, and then 69, they expanded to 24. Now there's 30, and I've heard rumors they're going to expand to maybe two more teams. So the opportunities to get to the big leagues are so much greater. But the downside is I think guys are rushed to the big leagues, and I don't think they're ready for prime time. And it is what it is, but, it's also being in the right place at the right time.
Yeah, I agree with you. I think that, the last year of fine-tuning gave me an opportunity to see, in particular, the cut fastball and some veteran pitchers that were more crafty than velocity. And it was an experience that I look back on quite nicely with. All right, we're going to have take a break here, and we're going to be back with our special guest, Art Chamsky, right after this.
Do you want to add a boost to your sex life this weekend? Do you want to make your partner and yourself happy? Then call our special hotline now. We'll sell you those little pills that work below the belt for less than $1 a pill and deliver your package in a few days, just in time for the weekend. Our pill delivers almost the same results as expensive pills for less than $1 a piece, and you don't need a prescription. And ask about their buy three, get three free offer. What are you waiting for? Boost your sex life and have a great time now. Less than $1 a pill, discreet delivery in a few days, and a buy three, get three free offer? Dial this number and save it now.
800-229-8627. 800-229-8627. 800-229-8627. That's 800-229-8627. Paid for by the pharmacy shop.
Everyone watches more than 5 hours of television. Really? And that's not counting mobile viewing. Get Dish TV and make that time worth it. With Dish, you can get hundreds of channels, access to all kinds of sports, tons of movies, premium channels, and more. Another thing that's really cool with Dish is you can watch most of your favorite shows on your mobile device anywhere for a lot less than cable. Yes, that's right. We are asking you to watch more TV and not less TV, but make it better television with Dish this time, anytime, anywhere. So call right now and learn how easy it is to save on your television bill and get the most out of your TV viewing experience. Dial that number and I promise you we're here waiting for your call because we want to save you money and give you better television. We are Dish TV.
800-293-0328. 800-293-0328. 800-293-0328. That's 800-293-0328.
If you're struggling to keep up with conversations, avoiding restaurants because you can't understand the waiter, if you've got the TV volume way up, then you really need these. These tiny but powerful little hearing aids are the Nano CIC rechargeable, priced at only $297 for a full pair. And no, these are not simply amplifiers. These are ultra high quality, ultra reliable hearing aids, priced thousands less than other hearing aids. They fit right in your ear. Nothing shows on the back of your ear. And at only $297 for a full pair. When you order today, Nano will give you a 45-day money-back guarantee. Order right now and Nano will give you a free portable charging case and even ship them to you for free. Here's the number. Call now.
800-278-1738. 800-278-1738. 800-278-1738. That's 800-278-1738.
Hello, Ron Save. Okay, we are back, and we have Art Shamsky, our special guest today. And Art, I want to kind of continue along this line. You know, we talk about, you know, honing our skills, getting, you know, making sure that when we get there, we're going to stay there. And, you know, who are your influences early? You mentioned that you were a roommate of Pete Rose early on in the minor leagues. How did that influence wear off on you? Who are some other players that you felt like you gained some great knowledge and experience for?
Well, we started our career way back in 1960. We were all just turned 18 years old. Tony Perez was on that team, and of course, Tony's in the Hall of Fame. And we were on this team, Reds minor league team, Geneva. That was the Geneva Reds in the New York Penn League. And I tell you, the three of us at the time, I think we were more suspects than prospects. We were so bad as a team, yeah. We got our manager fired. And what's interesting about that whole scenario is that I think at the time nobody really thought we were going to develop. Again, we were thrown into all these players who were in the same situation. But at that time, Cincinnati had two Class D teams. And the next year, they moved me up to Class B in Topeka, Kansas. And they kept both Pete and Tony in Class D. And if you would have saw Pete play in 1960, you would have said, there's no way he's ever going to make it to the big leagues, let alone go on to have the career he had. And something happened from that next year on, and we were together in 1962 in Macon, Georgia, of all places, in the Sally League. And he had transformed his career from being probably somebody that only ran hard to first base after a walk into a really good player, ended up leading the league in hitting, and then next year made the Reds in spring training, and the rest of history. But we were all young kids, and that organization at the time, like the Dodgers in the past, was developing so many really good young players. It wasn't really the prelude to the Big Red Machine, but a lot of the players were developing into possibly being on that team into the 70s, which led to the Big Red Machine. And, you know, there was guys like Chico Ruiz, Mel Queen, Tommy Harper.
Mm-hmm.
Trying to think of guys that the names you might recognize who all went on to the big leagues.
Oh, yeah. Veda Pinson.
Veda was already in the big leagues. But,
right.
But the team itself at the time had won the pennant in 61, won and lost in the World Series. But back in those days, anybody that really knows the history of baseball knows there were so many good teams, particularly in the National League. And it was really tough. And so, again, trying to make it, going to the next level. And then we were together again in Macon, Georgia. And then I went to AAA, and then Pete went to the big leagues. And then we were all together again. Tony followed a little bit after Pete went to the big leagues. And then the three of us were together. And we had a really good team at Cincinnati. And then Frank, of course, got traded over to Baltimore after my first year in Cincinnati in 1965. And they gave me an opportunity to play a little bit more in 1966, in which I did. Had a pretty good year, hit over 20 home runs and only 230 at bats. It was a pretty good ratio. And then
yes, it is.
Ended up getting hurt in 67. That was the first year of me getting hurt, which, as you know, Ron, you got to stay healthy in the game. They'll weed you out. You got to stay healthy. And then turned out I was on the disabled list a couple times in 67. And then got traded the winter of 67 over to the Mets. And at that time, as you probably know, there was no worse team in baseball than in New York and the New York Mets.
Yes,
in fact,
I do.
I tell the story that when I heard that I was getting traded, I got the call from general manager, was a guy named Bob Houselm. I don't know if that rings a bell for
you,
but he called me, and I had just had a surgery on my back, and I actually thought he was calling to see how I was feeling. And before he could say anything, he said, I said, you know, Mr. Houselm, I feel great, really looking forward to next year. And he said, oh, well, that's good, because we just traded you this morning. So, you know, the first time you get traded is always a shock. You've been with these guys now 8 years for me. Yep. You're friends. You've done things together. So you're in shock. But then once the shock started to wear off, I finally said to him, "Oh, really? I should probably know where I get traded. Where did I get traded?" He said, "To New York." And I said, "Oh my God, I can balls out of that Yankee Stadium breaking bats, that little right field fence down there, 300 feet. I'm really looking forward to the Yankee Stadium. Who's going to call me from them?" And he said, well, no, it's the other team in New York." And I said, "Oh no, the worst team in baseball." Back in those days, if you didn't win 2 out of 3 games in a 3-game series, you had a bad series against the Mets. And so I finally got over the shock. And what's really funny is I got a call from Bing Devine, who was the general manager of the Mets, who originally had come from the Cardinals. And he made me feel a lot better. He said, we need some left-hand power. And he said all the things that make me feel better. And I said, "That's great, Mr. Devine. Thank you so much. I really appreciate calling." Well, what happened next really shocked me, because the next day I picked up the paper and I read where Bing Devine left the Mets to come back to the Cardinals. So I was his last trade after him telling me how great it was. But it turned out to be the best thing that happened for me in my career. I mean, 2 years later, we won the World Series, and I'm still in New York because of it. And it was such an incredible team. And for me, it really changed my life.
Well, it's old home week for me with all these names and experiences. Tony Perez was our first baseman in Santurce, Puerto Rico, when I played winter ball there for Frank Robinson. And so I had a great relationship with him. I watched Veda Pinson play for the Seattle Rainiers in the Coast League back when I was a kid growing up in the Northwest. It was a very special time. Willie Davis was playing for the Spokane Indians. Steve Bilko, Frank Howard.
Great names. I can relate to all of them.
Yeah. So now, since you brought up the Mets, here you go. You're now going to be going over there. You're playing for the worst team in baseball. Somehow they are able to turn it around. Tell me what was going on in the city of New York at that point in time with the Mets and how they basically transitioned into this miracle Met team.
Well, my first spring training was 68, and we had just also, besides myself, gotten a couple of really good players from other teams. Tommy Agee came over, Al Weiss, who was utility infielder, J.C. Martin, the catcher. And it was also Gil Hodges, our manager's first year. Now, I know you know the name Gil because of the records he set with the Dodgers in L.A., before L.A., but in Brooklyn and in L.A. And Gil was, I just knew of him, just historically how great a player he was. He had managed the Washington Senators, I guess they were at the time. And the Mets made a trade for him, believe it or not, and he came over, and that was his first year. And I remember the first day in spring training, I had never met him before, but I hadn't knew him of a reputation. And he had this meeting, and he said, "I just want you guys to know that you're not going to be the same old Mets as you've been in the past." Well, I see these veins popping out in his his neck, and every time he shook hands with you, his fingers would come up half your wrist. His fingers and hands were so big, and that was the first day of me knowing that it would not be the same New York Mets, even though I hadn't been there before. And even though 1968, we didn't play great, we finished, there was only one division back then. We finished ninth, a half game out of last place. I think Houston finished last. And the next year, of course, they went to division play. But you could see, you could sense there was a change. You just said, "You guys are not going to be the same teams you've been in the past." And you knew it had to change. He just was going to be a no-nonsense manager. He managed in the style of Walter Alston. He sat back, made some moves, but you just didn't want to mess with him. He just was a tough kind of play. It was in the Marines, so you knew that had something to do with it. But he was a no-nonsense guy. And so the next year we come to spring training, and this is the year we win the World Series. Nobody really expected much to change, even though you could see some signs. We had really great young pitching. We had Seaver, and we had Kuzman, and we had Gentry, and we had Ryan, and we had Tug McGraw, and a few veterans. So you knew we had pitching, and we had pretty good defense. And we started out so-so. We didn't play great to begin with, but you could sense that there was a change happening, and that was really because of Gil Hodges. And as the season went on, we were still going into August, 9 games behind the Cubs. Remember, this is, again, division play. The first year of division play, we were in the National League East. And we were 9 games behind the Cubs going into the second week of August. And all of a sudden, something clicked. We just played an unbelievable baseball. And the key to it was that everybody on that team contributed something. And Gil had this knack for being able to manage by feel. I don't think he could manage in today's game and probably wouldn't want to. I think he had a sense of feel about players down at the end of the bench where he got everybody involved and he platooned in 4 or 5 positions. And he just got the most out of everybody. And as we overtook the Cubs towards the third week or so in August, it was just this feeling of you know, what's going to happen next. We're on this roll, and the city of New York now was getting caught up in what was happening. You know, again, this, we're the lovable losers that have lost 100 and some games almost every year. And all of a sudden, as we got into September and went into first place, it was just this incredible amount of excitement that the city went through. And again, you have to put it in perspective of what was going on in the city and the country at the time. The war in Vietnam was tearing the country apart. The city of New York was going under financially, socially, morally. Every way you could go under, the city was going under. And what we did is we got people to feel better about their lives. And even if it was just this baseball that was happening, and I think people remember that, and they pass it on from generation to generation. I still do speaking engagement and personal appearances because of being part of that team. And nobody ever talks about the other 12 years when they meet me. Oh, yeah, I remember 1969 met you. Yeah, they don't even talk about the other years, which is fine. But it's for me, it really changed my life getting over to that team. And we went from the lovable losers to world champions. And it was just an incredible experience for all of us, for part of being part of it. There was a trifecta that year. That was the year the Jets won the Super Bowl.
Yeah,
we won the World Series.
I'm going to have to hold you right there, Art. I'm going to have to hold you right there. We're going to take a short break, and then we'll be right back after this message. Okay.
IBM will become the official global partner of UFC, the world's premier mixed martial arts organization. Together, IBM and UFC are pioneering a product to revolutionize analytics and information in live sports. This includes unique insights and advanced analysis of live bouts, fighter tendencies, projections of possible outcomes, and method of victory, all of which will be engineered to update in real-time on-screen data. This partnership marks a pivotal win, not only for UFC and IBM, but also for fans around the world who will experience the sport in a whole new way. Sponsored by IBM.
Welcome to Staples.
I am so pumped. My business is going to kill it this year.
Awesome. How can I help?
First, a new computer.
With Staples Home and Office Hot Deals, you save big on tech.
And new posters.
Save on custom printing, too.
And
A new chair?
A chair? Who has time to sit?
Maybe all your new clients?
Now you're talking.
With Staples Home and Office Hot Deals, you'll find huge savings on custom prints, storage, chairs, and tech. And now save up to $175 off your print order. Exclusions apply. Visit staples.com/print for details. Ends 2/1.
Getting together with friends to watch the game? Then you'll need American Premium Vodka. Handcrafted and pure, this is the one thing all Americans can agree on. Founder Mark Gus Scott chose the finest natural elements America has to offer, and you'll taste how great it is to be an American. Now available at BevMo, GoPuff, Hy-Vee, and Fairway stores. American Premium Vodka. This is the America we need right now. Go to AmericanPremiumVodka.com. Celebrate responsibly.
Lowe's knows how to help make your Super Bowl 59 party a touchdown. Let us help you prep your home to host with top brands like Charbroil, Blackstone, and LG so you can be the MVP of game day. Plus, use the Lowe's app to find what you need for a seamless shopping run. Or huddle up with our Lowe's Red Vest associates to help make all your game time hosting decisions.
The Columbia Interchange System was revolutionary when it was designed over 40 years ago, and it's still breaking ground to this day, featuring 3-in-1 jackets that adapt to fluctuating weather patterns to keep you warm, dry, and protected no matter what. Whatever the weather, Interchange is there. Shop Interchange jackets and more at Columbia.com.
Mm-hmm. Welcome back to College Bowl season. And now it looks like a fan has run onto the field carrying a $5 KFC bowl.
Oh, yeah, it looks like the mac and cheese bowl with five original recipe nuggets or the new Nashville hot loaded fry bowl with nuggets, coleslaw, secret recipe fries, pickles, and Nashville hot sauce. Wow, looks yummy from up here.
Boy, everybody wants that bowl as more fans are pouring onto the field. Hey, Phil!
Get the only bowls that matter this season. Five delicious bowls, just $5 each. Only at KFC. Prices and participation may vary while supplies last. Taxes, tips, and fees extra.
The fans are rooting for the Dodgers.
And we are back. We'll see about that with the legend, champion, and MVP, Ron Say. This week in Dodger history, 1977, the Dodgers swapped first baseman and outfielder Bill Buckner, remember that name, and shortstop Ivan DeJesus to the Cubs for Rick Monday in a trade that would benefit both teams. In subsequent transactions with the Phillies and the Red Sox, respectively, after many productive seasons in Chicago, the team deals players for Ryan Sandberg, a former guest on the We'll See About That show.
All right, we are, and I remember all of that, and that was it was a good trade for all, and I was sad to see Bill Buckner leave, however. Back with Art, and I remember, the Miracle Mets. They did take New York by storm. They did have the great pitching staff, and I don't think that Nolan Ryan was necessarily in the rotation at that time. May have came in a little bit later, but I always remember going into New York, and this is a little bit after the fact, but going to New York and facing Seaver, Matlack, and Kuzman was no picnic, and they were still celebrating. I think at that time, their championship in '69. But what a special time that you gave the city of New York. It reminds me of what we were able to do in Chicago in 1984. It had been so long that they had won that it was overwhelming. And what an entertainment treat baseball does for a lot of people trying to escape from the daily rigors.
You know, I absolutely agree with you. You know, what's interesting about that era of baseball and yours as you got into it is that I meet people all the time, and most obviously elderly people who just want to remember and talk about it. It kind of brings back their youth. And for me to be able to, and I always get that question, don't you wish you were playing now? And of course, my first reaction is, yeah, crazy. I'd love to be making the money they're making. But the fact remains that I wouldn't trade it for that World Series ring that I have with the Mets. And more importantly, or just as important, I played with and against, as you did, some of the greatest players in the history of the game. But from the early 60s to the 70s, I mean, who else? You got a chance to play against Mays, Aaron, Clemente, Stargell, McCovey, Billy Williams, Rose, Bench. I mean, the list goes on and on and on. And I was lucky enough to play with and against them. You know, I did I tweeted out the other day, it was Koufax's birthday, Sandy's birthday, and so much respect for his greatness. And I just tweeted out, I think he was 89. I said, happy birthday, Sandy Koufax, 89. I said, you used to go on a West Coast trip before San Diego came into the league, and you'd face Gibson and Carlton in St. Louis, and you go to L.A. and you get Koufax, Drysdale, Sutton, and maybe Claude Austin, and then you'd go to San Francisco and you get Marichal, Perry, and Mike McCormick, who was winning Cy Young awards. And I said, please don't tell me about pitchers today. And a little sarcastic remark there, but
yeah, that's a long road trip.
is a long road trip. If you don't get some hits early, there's a good chance you might be coming home over. And I just saw the other day where great pitcher Bob Field passed away, and he was with the Pirates back in those days, and he could throw as good as anybody. But those memories for me of being in those games were just unbelievable. And I look at that era as being so lucky to have been part of it. And again, yeah, would I like to be playing now? Of course. But again, you can't, life is about timing. And so you can't change things that are there. But I feel very lucky to have been part of that era because I got a chance to play with and against these great players. And for me, a very, very special time.
Speaking of playing today, of course, I think we'd all want those $1 billion contracts that are coming down. But Art, what do you think about the state of the game today? Do you think we're going in the right direction with the rules changes, with the platooning of pitchers? What do you think?
I don't like to knock the game, but I don't like it. And in some respects, I'm a small ball person. I, Even though I could hit some home runs, I like to get fans involved where they can second guess the manager. Why did he bunt then? Why did he hit and run? Why did he steal? I mean, now fans go to the game and they just sit back and wait for the big inning. And so I don't even know if anybody's keeping score anymore. I just to me, the thing that I like is that there's action in the game where fans get a chance to be part of it. And the other thing I really don't like and is all the strikeouts. Guys strike out 150 times, 175. The worst part of it is they don't care. You know, and you're very rarely going to see a right-handed batter with nobody out and a runner on second try to move the runner over to the third. He's just not going to do it because he doesn't want to give up that at-bat because he might hit a home run, and that's the name of the game, home runs and RBIs. So that part of the game I don't like. It's still a great game. It's still a great game for kids. It teaches humility. It teaches you how to deal with adversity, teamwork. And I love working with kids, but the game, the big league game today is tough for me to watch because of the things I just talked about. And I just I wish there was more action. I just wish there was, you know, get the fans involved. And, you know, and I'm starting to believe that the game itself is secondary to the arenas. Come to Dodger Stadium for the restaurants. Come to Dodger Stadium for the food, the scoreboard, the music, the entertainment, or come to Citi Field for those same things. The game is it'll be a game, but these other things are real important, and I'm not sure I'm crazy about that idea.
Well, we're definitely talking the same language. It's a strikeout home run game. You know, we have bullpen games today, which I think is it's a glamorized exhibition game, and the pitch clock, which I do agree with, the larger bases, not so much. The runner at second base in extra innings, to me, that's a travesty. They only implement that the right way when you get to the postseason, and I find that to be 162 games late. There's a lot of important games to be played, and metrically, it will tell you that most teams play about 10% of their games are extra innings. So that's 16 games a year that you have a cookie out at second base with an easy win without having to manufacture anything. And it's a hard inning.
Right.
It's just true. Too easy. You play hard for nine innings, and now you give them a cookie. I don't like that at all. But anyway, the stories that you have are, you know, right up my alley. You're a little bit before my time, but we cross over. And all those players that you named, that is part of my joy of being able to play in the game with all these great players. Yes, I would be a horrible businessman today if I didn't want to play. But I wouldn't change, much like you didn't want to change my thoughts about, you know, I played in a great era of baseball, and I was extremely fortunate, and we were very dominant in our time there. We are both world champions. That is something that I wish, some of my favorite players would have been able to experience. But what a time we had playing in those days, much different from today's game. Did you have a favorite player growing up? Because I did. And I got to play against mine, which was an unbelievable thrill for me, and that was Willie Mays.
He was good. I always tell people if Willie wasn't playing in that horrible Candlestick Park, he probably would have hit 800 home runs over his career. It never helped McCovey, but it hurt Mays, especially those Tuesday night and then Friday night games and then day games after. But I hated that ballpark. I've got some interesting stories about facing Marichal when he's kicking that leg way up and the wind's blowing and your eyes are tearing and you got cotton in your ears and the whole thing. But my favorite player was Stan the Man Musial growing up in St. Louis, and never got a chance to play against him, but idolized him as a kid growing up. But I must tell you that I was in awe of a lot of the players that I played against and with and watched them in batting practice and try to look at them doing things and try to follow them. And again, was lucky enough to play against these great players and with some of the great players. And I feel very lucky. I've got no regrets. Would I like to be playing now? Yes. But the balance is that I've got the World Series ring with that great Met team and get a chance to talk to wonderful people like yourself and reminisce about the game when we knew it, how it was and how we loved it and the challenges we face. And, you know, you were mentioning it that before about the guys that just they come up and I just look at them and I think they're overmatched. They just don't play against good competition, as I mentioned earlier. And I think that's one of the problems that we see now because teams don't waste any time. You got a prospect in the minor leagues. Let's get him up and we don't want him to get hurt. We're going to get him up to the big leagues and let him play. And I think consequently, that's what you see. That's the product that you see.
Yeah, they sure don't nurture them the same way, and I agree with you. I think a lot of them are overwhelmed when they first get there. They don't have the proper training to be in that situation quite that early.
Terry Francona said that, well, you know, he was a longtime minor league manager, that prospects need 1,500 minor league at-bats to be ready for the major leagues. Do you agree with that, guys?
They used to have a formula back then, you know, so many innings pitched, you know, so many at bats, so many games played. Obviously there are some who are, you know, ready ahead of the schedule. But yeah, pretty much the Dodgers, they were pretty much willing to nurture us for at least 3 years before, there was any real opportunity. And I think that was about right. You know, you have an opportunity to be on the road, go through a full year, experience the ups and downs, how to get in it, how to get out of it. Sometimes they push you so fast, you can't get through some of those training periods. And
The other thing I get a kick out of too, Ryan, is that I watch on the game now. If I'm out at the ballpark doing an appearance or something, I watch a little bit, but I see these guys, they're all hugging each other, the opposition, and they're talking to each other and everything. I remember when we had the fraternizing rules. I don't remember when it stopped and if you had it in the 70s.
Oh, we did.
They had these fraternizing rules that you really couldn't talk to the opposition. I kind of like that because but now I see guys that are hugging each other and they're kidding around and it's a little different look for me than I remember. But
They're miking them up. They're miking them up these days on the field, which I don't like. But they're paying them to do it. It's part of the basic agreement. Anyway, what I need to say here is that we left so much on the table, Art. We're winding down here. We're in our last minute of this, and I would love an opportunity to cover the rest of what we left out there. Your books, your opportunity to do work in baseball with the Israel baseball team. You're an ambassador. We left that out there. We have an agenda that we couldn't quite cover all of that, but I certainly am thrilled that you were able to be with us today. I loved your stories and your experience. Like I said earlier, it was old home week, and can't thank you enough for joining us today.
Well, let's do it again. My pleasure. Anytime.
All right, Art. Thank you so much. Ladies and gentlemen, Art Chamsky, world champion with the 69 Miracle Mets. We'll be right back. We'll see about that right after this message. This is baseball's Ron Say. Nowadays, it seems like nothing is built to last. Phones, appliances, cars, computers, but the new Michelin Defender 2 tire is designed to outlast. With a quiet and comfortable ride, you will have the confidence you need on the roads, whether they're wet or dry. So goodbye to the short-lived and hello to something that lasts. Get your set of Michelin Defender 2 tires at Hank's Tires, 19951 Ventura Boulevard in Woodland Hills. Call my buddy Steve Goldberg at 818-340-4200. That's 818-340-4200. Hank's Tires is also built to last. Hank opened Hank's Tires in 1953, and we are the oldest tire and auto repair shop in the San Fernando Valley with 100% customer satisfaction. Hank's is AAA approved for all of your auto repair needs. Call Hank's Tires at 818-340-4200 and tell them Ron Say sent you.
Looking for a cruise vacation? Cruise.com is offering its exclusive sale of the year to all listeners to this station. Every major cruise line, including Royal Caribbean, Carnival, Princess, MSC, and more, are on sale now. Call 1-800-430-7924 and book one of these deals while supplies last. Cruises start from as low as $39 per person per day. There isn't a better vacation value to places like Alaska, Europe, the Caribbean, South America, and more. Call one of the largest cruise specialists in the world at 1-800-430-7924. We'll find you a vacation that includes drinks, Wi-Fi, excursions, and more. Call 1-800-430-7924. Again, that's 1-800-430-7924. Space is limited. Don't miss your opportunity to book the best deal of the year. That's 1-800-430-7924. Sponsored by Cruise.com.
Do you have Medicare and do you use a CPAP machine? This is a national healthcare alert regarding your CPAP supplies. Using a clean CPAP mask and clean supplies is important to staying healthy. The best way to make sure your CPAP equipment is clean is to get new supplies. If you have Medicare, we have great news. Medicare will pay for you to have new clean supplies every 90 days. We'll even do all the paperwork for you to make sure that there's little to no out-of-pocket cost to you. And you don't even have to leave your home. We provide free in-home delivery. So if you're a CPAP user and you have Medicare, staying healthy with new CPAP equipment is easy. Just make this free phone call right now to get started.
Sponsored by Specialty Medical. 800-913-9739. 800-913-9739. 800-913-9739. That's 800-913-9739.
Has someone in your family lost a job recently and now you can't afford your mortgage payment? Or do you have a rental property and your tenants aren't paying you? Quick Cash Offer can come to the rescue and pay you cash for your home immediately. Yes, sell your home and get cash all over the phone without dealing with real estate agents and risking your safety by showing your home to lukewarm buyers. You don't need to lose your home to foreclosure. If you have any equity in your home, we will buy it and give you cash within days, all in a simple over-the-phone and virtual process. Call Quick Cash Offer now before the economy gets worse. Sell a home you can't afford or just don't want to get the cash you need today.
800-788-1495. 800-788-1495. 800-788-1495. That's 800-788-1495.
Hey, Ron. How you doing?
Okay. Welcome to We'll See About That. We are finalizing our last segment here and want to let you know that please visit the website, theronsayshow.com. We have plenty of options over there for the book, Penguin Power, and please take a look at that. We have our podcast menu with our guest list there, and it can be accessed from the website itself, so please take a look at that. Love to have you join us, and we are also carried by Apple, Amazon, Spotify, Google, Roku, and others. And don't want to leave out a very important mentioning of Jimmy Carter passing. Lived to be 100 years old, an incredible time that he had in office as well.
Yeah, true statesman, and you know, especially after leaving office, dedicating his life to Habitat for Humanity, and also just the great love that he had for Rosalind, which was so evident.
Yes, and I hope that all our condolences to the family are well taken.
Absolutely. Ron, real fast, let's talk about the college football. All four first seeds, top seeds, including your Oregon Ducks, all got creamed.
Yeah, they did.
All the teams that had byes in the college football playoff lost. What do you attribute that to?
You know what? If I had an answer, I'm sure they would bottle it. But I was really disappointed. The only team that really – the only game was the Texas-Arizona State game. And you know what? Arizona State had three different separate opportunities to put that game away and couldn't. I felt really bad. You know, they had a missed field goal that bounced through the upright. Did you remember seeing that one? Did you know that that is a field goal? that is a real field goal, and it's they did not count it. And I thought the same thing, but I just read this article about it. It said that field goal that Arizona State that bounced in front of the goal line and then bounced over and through the uprights was actually a field goal.
All I know is that that Oregon team maybe spent a little bit too long in Hollywood at some of the adult establishments before that Rose Bowl game.
You know, they did not recover from the onslaught. You know, Ohio State got off to a great start, they're right now they look like the favorite. Penn State and Notre Dame, Texas, Ohio State. All the pro games are coming up this weekend, too, the first rounds of the playoffs. So a lot of exciting football waiting for you this weekend. Thanks for joining us, and have a wonderful weekend.